we can help these girls realize that it's not about comparing. We can find gratitude in the imperfections. Life isn't perfect and it's not going to be, but you have a choice on how you look at things. And the more you practice gratitude and put that into whatever situation you might be faced with, the easier it's going to become.
Family life is essential. Jim and I are on a mission to help you live the best one. You'll hear personal stories from thought leaders of strengths and struggles with proven strategies to help you make the most of your 18 summers. I'm your co-host, Jamie Shields.
Hey, 18 Summers Tribe, Jamie here. We're having a girls' room today. I'm super excited. We've got Katie, Allie, and Becky joining us.
Yay.
And we are going to talk about building confidence and preparing your young women to be young women. And I'm super excited to have you here today. Thank you, all three of you.
We're excited to be here.
Yeah, thank you.
So, Katie, you mentioned singers. Is that what you said? Is
yeah.
it little it's people and little voices?
Yes, exactly. It's Singers Company. It's elementary age girls. And that's really how it all started. I built that business in high school. It turned into a franchise. Now we have them nationwide. And it's all about building these little girls' confidence. And it does just that. It's awesome. It's great. But then these little girls started to grow up. And parents were like, wait a minute, they're going into the middle school years. And those are really crucial years where they start to really establish who they are and who they want to be and kind of navigate the unknown. And they just needed extra support. I knew that was the case, but I knew it needed to be different than Singers Company, really different, because this time of life is really different and they need life skills. Like you said, parents need backup for this crucial time. So that's when it just really started to come to my heart. Like it just kind of unfolded. We have a garden theme. I love to garden and I love to dig in the dirt. And as I've worked in my garden, a lot of people could just pick out the basic analogies, but it just went deeper. And I just knew that this approach for these girls to help them cultivate a life of happiness and how to really do that on the day to day, that's what this is all about. And Allie and Becky are scooped them in and said, hey, this is what I want to do. This is what I'm feeling. And they immediately were like, oh my gosh, yes, 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 yes. And so we've just created this program to kind of take the load off of the girls. Like, okay, life is hard. And situations can be tricky with friends and changing bodies and changing schedules and more happening in this time of life. But let's figure out how to keep the sunshine in your life. Let's figure out on the day-to-day, hour-to-hour, how to keep you smiling and steady and happy, no matter what comes your way.
How did you see the vision? Because it sounds like Katie had the original vision for the younger ones. And now how did you and Becky transform that original vision and just keep moving it upwards? I mean, you said you guys have 17 children between the three of you.
Yes.
Certainly have middle school girls in there somewhere.
Yes. Yeah. And my oldest is 11 and he is just about to approach to go into middle school. We've got middle school registration tomorrow. And when Katie approached me, I remember being that middle school girl. I remember my family had just moved and we had just switched to a brand new school. And I knew zero people. And I remember sitting at lunch by myself for the first like couple days of school and just cried. I remember where the portable was. I remember where I sat. And I remember being that middle school girl. I remember having those awkward feelings of trying to meet new friends and trying to fit in and trying to see where I fit into this new world that I was basically just like thrown into, right? I'm sure most middle schoolers feel that they're kind of just like thrown into this world and they're like, what do I do? How do I do this? And so with Katie's vision, I was like, I remember those feelings. I remember the emotions that came along with trying to figure it out. And so I was like all in. I have a bachelor's in marriage and family therapy. So that was my undergrad. And I've never been able to work in that field just with life and jobs and different things going on. So this was like the perfect marriage of like life experience and a little bit of what I studied in college and just trying to help these girls navigate through, I think, the worst and hardest time of a girl's life. Middle school is so hard, but it can also be so fun. So we're trying to help build that fun and keep everybody smiling, even through, like Katie said, the ups and the downs that are constant in middle school life.
Yeah, if only everybody knew that they were all experiencing the exact same thing at the exact same time.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes.
And I totally see how your degree, I think a lot of maybe patterns or things that I felt or thought about myself were laid really strong in those middle school years and probably come in and affect my marriage from time to time. Those layers of which we carry with us. So I just think it's incredible to be able to have that perspective too. So you guys mentioned, is it an online program? Tell me a little bit about the format of it so that I can understand and our listeners can understand what this format's like. Becky, would you like to share with us?
Sure. Yes, it is an online format in the sense of where girls can access it on a computer, on their parents' phone, on an iPad. It's easily accessible and it's in a safe portal. Like it's not connected to a third party where they're getting advertisements or things that we don't want our children possibly popping up in front of them. We wanted to be competitive at this age group with the girls who feel that they want to be on a screen, which we don't feel like this age group is appropriate for TikTok or Instagram, right? I mean, literally those programs say 13 and above, and our target market is middle school, 10 to 13 years old. And if they want to be on a screen, we want to be a positive presence on a screen so that they can go on and watch an entertaining video, learn an amazing principle, a tool, something productive that they're not going to spend all time on a screen. It's literally maybe 10 minutes a week, 12 minutes. They're going to learn something. And then it's like, go do this, go try this week. So there's weekly lessons that we call planting the seeds. And we talk about everything from how to manage your time to how to be self-aware when you're in a social situation and stand up for something that if it's not going the way that you want it to, like, where can you find your confidence? Where can you grow and be who you are meant to be? And we talk about who you are. Like the first lesson we tell these girls is you are a girl with gifts to grow and share. And we weave that throughout the whole program about growing. Like this is a program where you get to discover who you are, grow yourself, and then turn around and share that with other people. Just like the program, like come in, learn, and then go share what you've learned. So those planting the seed episodes, there's a year's worth, but sometimes the girls take about a week or 2 weeks to watch one, or they'll come back and watch another one. So typically the girls get through the program about a year and a half. And as they are part of I Believe in Me, we have interactive Zoom calls with girls all across the country once a month where they can all come and talk and find community, find where they belong. We call that How's It Growing? It's our interactive Zoom call. And it's so cute. We have all these cute faces that pop up and they talk to each other and we address concerns. They can submit questions like anonymously in the chat box. So we want to be definitely a voice of encouragement and mentoring as they go through like real time situations in school, like beginning of school. They're all going back to school right now. There's things that they have quick questions and they'll want to talk about it together or they'll message in. And then we also have this whole panel of amazing, strong women who have joined forces and they want to be part of building up confidence of girls. So we have experts over every area of like fashion and cooking and social skills and healthy habits like fitness that are age appropriate. Again, like makeup tips, we're not talking about stuff they're going to find again on TikTok, like what's appropriate with fashion at your age. So it's a great community for these girls to be able to come on at their own leisure, whatever time frame works for them. There's no like set way to do the program. Yeah, it is online and it's been incredible.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing the format. What are some things that you are teaching? I know some of the principles, but how do you, or like the perspective of building the confidence? I have an almost tween and we have five ourselves. Two of them are adults now, but they were boys. And somehow, I know this is so wrong, but I just feel like the boys handle confidence a little bit differently and they handle some of these topics a little differently. Like I'm definitely more worried about my daughter than my sons. I think maybe because I'm a girl, maybe I know all of the things that we face, the pressures that just feel so different. And life-changing, I guess, as well. I think for young women, sometimes first interactions can be just trajectory-changing. Where does self-confidence come from? In our home, I like to think it's we're cheerleaders and we're informers and we're really supportive.
Yes.
Where do you believe self-confidence comes from?
We truly believe it comes from knowing who you are, like who you are individually. And we talk about that even with your boys, like a lot of the principles we talk about, and I Believe in Me, are so applicable to everybody. And we start with that foundation. Like Becky said, that first episode right out of the gate is who are you? Like, what do you like? what makes you you? Because this world needs you, your unique gifts and talents. And so you are a girl with gifts to grow and share, just like your sons. You are a boy with gifts to grow and share. And in discovering those gifts, which I think parents play a big part in that discovery as they're providing the ways these kids can do different activities and navigate new talents, try new things. But as you discover those gifts, work really hard to grow those gifts and then go share them. That's where confidence comes. You know, you have a place in this world. And when you see the fruits of your labors, like we give the example of like a girl, like babysitting. Okay. That's kind of a natural thing at this age that they could, if they wanted to, start getting into. Well, if you work really hard at that and it becomes a skill you have, and maybe you're naturally really cute with kids, you do a good job. That employer or the parents that hire you are going to give you awesome feedback. The kids are going to love you. They're going to give you that awesome feedback. Oh, they'll be excited every time they see you. You've earned a little bit of extra money. And so you feel this empowerment and you realize, I did a good job. And even in school, you translate that to school. One of the topics we cover all the time is study habits and habits in your daily life to prepare you for success in school, which we call your full-time job at this age, right? And you're always wanting, the goal is to get good grades. So in every area of a girl's life at this age, whether it's what she's wearing, the friends she's hanging out with, the classes she's studying in school, how well she's doing in math, the talents that she's trying to pursue. Does she like volleyball? Is she a sports girl? Or maybe she likes both. She likes music too. It's all that discovery of all those different paths in their life that it can either crush you at this age, or you can find the approach where you find strength in your growth, those little steps of being proud of yourself that you did better than you did before with that friend. You did better than you did yesterday in math. You worked harder on your homework. You understood it better. Last time it wasn't so great. You weren't getting that skill, but you worked hard and you did better. So to see that progress in their own lives with their own talents, and even just the things they're interested in, it might not be a talent yet, but just their interest of who they are. So you ask, where does that confidence come from? It's in the growing, the working, and the sharing of the unique gifts and talents they each have. So you said cheerleading. That's what this program is. It is just, you are needed the way you are. Like you and your specific gifts are needed. We can't have a whole world full of Katies. Yes. We would implode on ourselves.
That's one thing I was going to say, along with that whole interwoven through the program is, we are trying to help these girls get away from comparing themselves against their friend, their sibling, whatever they see on a screen. That is one of the most critical parts of a girl's self-esteem is the comparison game. And it's killing them because they feel like they're not enough. They feel like they're not measuring up. And they need voices in their head every single day telling them, do not compare. You be you. Just like a garden, there's so many different kinds of flowers in a garden. And that analogy works so beautifully because every single flower is beautiful. The diversity is needed. Don't be your best friend. Don't be exactly what she is. You need to be different. You need to be who you are. And there's confidence in that knowledge of like, you know what? Yeah, I am enough and I'm going to do what I love to do and focus on that and then share that with the world. I'm not going to copy what Susie's doing, or I'm not going to compare the way my body looks to Sally's. Like, we're different. You're different. And that's okay. That's good. Right. So the comparing thing, it's a huge thing for me. That's why I'm so passionate about this. I have four daughters and they're all different. Like, even though I'm the same mom, I've raised them the same way. They have different struggles. They have different strengths. They have different weaknesses. They bring different things to this world and they're all beautiful. And I can't even imagine our family without one of them, because that's just how this world is. We all need each other and we need each other to be different. So if we can keep reminding these girls, it has to be a constant thing of don't compare. What you have is incredible and what you have is something the world needs. So go find it, go work on it, and then go share it.
Now, Allie, you mentioned social media, like TikTok. Where do you think society or like the current structure fails our girls? Like, what do you think is the biggest thing that they face in not being able to naturally bloom into who they are?
I think it's kind of like Becky said, they're seeing social media and they're seeing people online get all these followers, and we don't want them to be a follower. We want them to pave their own path in their garden of life. We don't want them to just follow what the crowd's doing. And that's where our society has it wrong is, I mean, Instagram literally has followers and Facebook. And it's so bad because we want these girls to be an individual and be strong and be confident in who they are. And that's the sad part is we give so much fame and attention to influencers and people on social media and people in the media in Hollywood or whatever, when we really want them to look at people and we want their heroes and their role models to be those who are working hard, who are making a difference in this world, who are spreading light and sunshine and happiness and joy. We don't want them to be so focused on having followers and fitting in like society would have. I mean, that is the name of the Instagram game, sadly. You know what I mean? Is to have followers and we want them to be their own. And that's, I think, where we've gotten it wrong in society is we've given so much attention to that.
And how do we as women, because we were all young tween ladies before, how do we as mothers of young ladies, how do we play a role and how can we help that with our girls? Like in my own home, I know like I don't emphasize anything physical. Like I don't
100%
know about my body. There's lots of nudity in our house. You know what I mean? With appropriate, obviously, but like,
yeah.
There's no like hiding of things. There's no shaming, none of that. And I think that it's so important because I know, like I saw things growing up of women that didn't approve of certain parts of them. And I'm grateful that I knew enough to be like, oh, well, everybody's different. But I think so often girls don't know everybody is different. And so if they hear a woman in their life talking about, oh, look at this saddlebag, or oh, my neck is floppy, or like any of those things, right? It immediately becomes
bizarre.
And so what are some of your like top suggestions of things that you do in your own home to help build that positive culture for women?
In regards to like body, because I think that's what you were kind of touching on is just your body image. We're all women. And Becky mentioned the comparing game and Allie mentioned Instagram, social media, all that's put out there that looks so perfect, or at least what the world defines as perfect. One thing that is good, I think you're starting to really see different shapes out there. And so I do think that's one thing that society is trying to get right is that all the shapes and things are beautiful. I think a woman is such a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I think as mothers, I know all of us are mothers. I don't think anything can compare to the beauty of bringing a child into the world. And I mean, that's where I'll get really emotional. And you know how really just sacred that is and how beautiful and natural that is and the love that comes from that. I think if we put too hard of an expectation on our own child of the way we want them to be or maybe look, we just don't need to play that game. Like you said, I think you allow your family to be free. And I remember as a parent, you choose your battles. And so like for a girl, I remember my little she's my oldest now, she's 22. But when she was three, I had an idea, my expectation in my head of what I wanted her to wear. And I didn't have much money at that point early in marriage when I got a cute outfit that I loved so much and I wanted her to wear it. And she would put up the biggest fit. And I remember there was one moment that I was like almost about to yell, like, get the clothes on that I want you to wear. And then that mom moment, my heart just told me like, this is not the battle that you want. Like if she hits another human being and like bites another human being, that's the battle that you start, like you intervene. But if she wants to wear that, let her. If she thinks she looks beautiful, letter. I think as they get older, the appropriate line comes in. And so you might have to intervene a little bit because it sends a message what you're wearing. But I think as parents, if you have that expectation, that really doesn't matter. I think it's that who they are, they're loved, and trying to pull out and see as parents what their gifts are and help them in that discovery, provide a lesson in ukulele lessons, provide that surf lesson. If that's what they're into, or you get a feeling, okay, they need to get more active, whatever that is. They don't have to be a sports person, but like they really need to get active. Find that activity. Cause I think as parents and mothers, we innately feel in our hearts are pricked when we know there's an issue with a child or a girl. And we know when like maybe something needs to change in what we're pursuing with them or how we're presenting. And I think through our hearts and just through a lot of just contemplation, we'll be given the answers and we'll know how to guide our daughters. Because it's crazy out there and it can be very confusing. But I think the bond between a child and a mother, and in that heart, you'll know what to do.
I also add to that, Jamie, as speaking with women and mothers and our own body issues, trying to not put those onto our daughters, that's a very real thing. And as moms, as women, we need to be careful of our own dialogue and how we think about ourselves. Like these principles in this program, I apply to my life all the time. I feel like a middle schooler every day sometimes, right? In my insecurities and the things I deal with, sometimes I look at my body and I'm not happy with it. And then I have to catch myself because I've trained and I've seen the difference of, we have a principle in I Believe in Me that we tell these girls, the thoughts that you water are the thoughts that will grow. And if we can short circuit that negative thinking and that negative view and change it to be like, I am grateful for my body. I am grateful for this beautiful body and I can smell, I can run. I injured my knee last summer and I'm a huge runner. And let me tell you, I have a whole new appreciation for this imperfect body that maybe doesn't fit into my pair of jeans because I can run now. Like I've healed and I'm so grateful for that. So as moms, we can verbalize how grateful we are for our healthy bodies. We try to help these girls with these mind tools and a mindset of having gratitude over comparing or over criticizing. Like we don't need to criticize our own bodies. What an incredible human being. We're amazing people, physically, emotionally, spiritually, intellectually. There's so much that makes up this physical body. It's not just the physical. I studied exercise physiology in college and I put my husband through dental school personal training. So I was very much into the physical side of helping women meet their goals. But even more than that, something that was so special for me was to help women reach their emotional goals, that it's not just about looking a certain way. It's just about feeling good. You need to be healthy mentally and physically. We can help these girls realize that it's not about comparing. It's not about the physical. We can find gratitude in the imperfections. Life isn't perfect, right? It's not perfect and it's not going to be. But you have a choice on how you look at things. You have a choice on what you let into your garden gate and how you let that affect your heart. And the more you practice gratitude and put that into whatever situation you might be faced with, the easier it's going to become. So now I spend less time being critical about my body, especially after healing and being able to run again and realizing that, you know what, there's better things to put my energy into than to focus on the physical. I can be grateful. And I can realize that I'm a beautiful human being, no matter what I look like.
I know my daughter has a similar structure to me. And I have a large, I'd say large, anybody listening to this that knows me is gonna be like, you do not have a large butt. Okay, but I have a full bottom, I guess we could say, whatever. But I'm a dancer and my daughter's built the same way. And so she's got these incredibly strong legs and this beautiful fake, but like, sometimes she'll say, because she has a friend who's tall and very lean and thin, and she'll be like, she'll think that that friend's jeans are going to fit on her. And she goes to put them on. She's like, why? I'm like, because you have strong dancer legs. Like they could also do lots of other things, but this is what your body does.
Yes.
You climb and swim and play soccer and you do these other things that build your body in a different way. And so I think sometimes even understanding this is how my body works, or this is what I'm made for. And that's not for me to tell her, but maybe for me to remind her.
Yes. And to find the beauty in that, the beauty in the diversity of, yeah, look at what you can do. Let's focus on that. Like, don't focus on the negative, right? Let's water the thoughts that are going to help you grow. And yeah, that's exactly it.
And we set the tone. We set the tone for our daughters. Yes. Yeah. My oldest daughter is 7 and she's just starting to like, I mean, the trend is like, there's a lot of crop tops where we live and we live by the beach. And so it's really hot in the summertime and we're in bathing suits a lot. And sometimes we're not in bathing suits, but those crop tops, I'm like, those are beach shirts. We want to save those for the beach. But we set the tone. We are the example and we are the ones to put the phone down. And we are the ones as we're shopping for new school clothes right now. And so we'll be trying things on in the dressing room together. And if I'm criticizing, maybe even not verbally, but with my eyes and being like, ah, I don't know, they pick that up. So we are the example. We are the ones who are laying the foundation of how we're going to accept our own bodies, whether we have curly hair or straight hair. I have one daughter with straight hair and one daughter with curly. And my little four-year-old with curly hair always wants straight hair. It's the funniest thing. And I can do both. I can do curly and straight. But I've got to teach her that her curly hair is beautiful and it's so pretty. And we can do these fun things with it. And Chloe has straight hair and that's okay. And Chloe can do different things. But it's even in the tiniest little things of curly hair versus straight hair that I'm trying to teach and instill in my daughters that it's okay to be different. And it's, you're beautiful just the way you are, no matter if you've got curly or straight hair. So we are, as moms, for sure, set the example and set the tone.
What were some things that, this is a little deeper, so anybody that wants to share, please do. What are some things that maybe you experienced that you're hoping to short circuit for these girls? So for me, I was this size, exactly like this since eighth grade. And when you have the body of a grown woman and you're 13 years old, I know this is a little bit older than, but still that middle school window, there's so much that happens and that I wasn't prepared for because maybe mentally, emotionally, I wasn't prepared for the body in which I had been given. I started my period when I was 10 and a half. I surely wasn't ready for that shit. So yeah. I think there are things in which each of you probably faced and had to overcome. For me, it's like, my daughter is almost 9. That's a year from when I started my period. I'm like, we have to have these conversations sooner than we think we have to have these conversations. And we have to do this modeling because it's a lot easier on the front end than undoing a lot of damage. And so if any of you have like a specific example of something that had to really be undone for you that you're trying to do differently.
I don't have necessarily one for me, but I have one for my daughter. So one of my daughters now, I didn't realize how deep of an issue just the body image and what you're putting in it and what you're choosing to exert it and the balance. And I mean, as a mom, I always kind of told my kids, put the good stuff in first. And then I'm all about the treats because I tried, like you said, you mentioned not making it an issue. And I've seen in my nieces and nephews, I've watched my older siblings parent their children where it was such an issue, talked about all the time, like food. And I just did not want that. In our house, it's to fuel us in the right way so we can have a lot of fun. You need fuel. It's tricky. And so to talk her through, we've had multiple just talks about it, about how it is such a gift. And your body, even though you might want the way hers looks, you have to stop that because your body is such a gift. And that's one of the episodes we have for our girls. And I Believe in Me is that's what it's called. The greatest gift you've ever been given is this beautiful, miraculous body that moves and that creates life. And it's just an absolute miracle. And even starting your period, that's what creates life later on. And we have a beautiful contributor. Her name is Sabina. She tackles periods so beautifully and simply for these sweet girls that haven't started yet, like what to expect and why, and not to get hard on yourself, what hormones can do to your emotions. And it just takes the load off. It's like, it's normal. It just normalizes even what feels the abnormal. It normalizes it. We're women. Everyone had to start to have a period. Everyone's gone through the ups and downs and the fluctuating body. And like, just to see it in my own daughter as she has struggled, but as she's also overcome and realized, my body, this is just the shape it is. This is the shape that my gift is packaged in. And it's always going to have this part of the shape in it. And I'm going to love it. And guess what? I mean, my daughter's a surfer and she loves it. Like her body can get her out there and she surfs those waves and she's so strong and she's going to be a nurse. Like she's into school for nursing and she's watching the miraculous body, how it mends itself. It's just the miracle of the body and having that appreciation and gratitude, like Becky said, and turning all those negative thoughts into thoughts of gratitude for the world. I mean, my husband makes surfboards for a living. And so in the ocean is a very sacred place for my family and for my boys. And you talk about boys and it has shaped their minds and hearts. It really has. And it's been a very spiritual experience. That's where they kind of understand who they are out there while they're surfing. They understand the minimal part they play in this world because the ocean is so vast and the power is so great. but they also know the strength that they can to be part of that world for good when they catch that wave and ride it well. And so I think it's just keeping that balance of when those hard waves come, to know that you have the courage and power inside you to either duck dive it and safely get through it, or to stand up and ride it.
That's good. Do either of you have any other?
Yeah, I'll go ahead. You asked if we had had experiences when you were talking about your daughter and her friend who was kind of long and lean, my best friend growing up. So I'm 5'1" and I've always just said I'm short and stout. Short and stout. And I played soccer and I did gymnastics. And so I was a little compact, little ball of muscle, I guess you could say. But then I had this best friend. She was 5'7", 5'8". I mean, her hip bone came up to like my rib cage. And I could never fit into her jeans. I could never fit into her clothes. And it was hard because she was one of my best friends from the time I was 7 years old. And we cheered through high school together and did all the things. But I had to learn. And it was a struggle because I wish I had had these, I believe in me, because it would have been a lot easier. Because I had to learn through the hard times, like, okay, her body can do these kinds of things. But you know what? I am like a gold mine on that soccer field. Or I can do a standing tuck without even like batting an eye because I've got these big, strong, muscular soccer legs or my gymnastics legs or whatever. It was a struggle, but I had to realize that my particular gifts and my particular, what we said, kind of like our little package, we all come in these different sizes and shapes and they're all beautiful. And while a team has to have different strengths and you can't all be the forward, you can't all be the goalie, you can't all be the sweeper, there needs to be different parts that people are stronger at in order to make a team work. And I had to learn that, that my body was going to give me different strengths and talents that I could succeed in while she couldn't succeed at those same things. This other friend wasn't nearly as athletic. And I had to kind of like, okay, she can do those things and she looks this way, but I can do all of these other things. And it was just kind of trial and error. And I didn't know how to navigate that. And so that's why I think why I love being a part of I Believe in Me is, again, like I talked in the beginning, all of these experiences that I kind of had to figure out the hard way or didn't know, or my parents were like, well, that's just how it is. There wasn't a good explanation for it, but we have a good explanation. We have a very positive, happy one to share that these girls are all so individual and beautiful in their own way. And you get to do all things that other friends don't get to do because of how your body is and because of the talents you have. Anyways, those were just kind of my experiences that I had growing up in middle school.
Becky, what did you need as a little girl?
What did I need?
Yeah. What did you need that you didn't receive that hopefully you guys are providing?
Something that I'm so passionate about, which probably was born out of this need, I guess, is I'm a huge believer in routine and just steadiness and progress over perfection, the little by little. Because when I was 10, my younger brother passed away from cancer and he was 8. And so honestly, it was like, I'm sorry, I don't know why I'm getting emotional, but it was like, at 10 years old, kind of like the rug gets pulled out from under you and your whole life changes, your whole world changes, like how you see things, your perspective changes. And there's some days where you don't feel like doing squat, right? And I know my mom felt like that a lot. And I know that our whole family was kind of maybe looking for how to keep going, keep putting one foot in front of the other. And so as a child, having the perspective of experiencing grief and deep loss and watching my mom rise through the grief, validating the grief, embracing it. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to feel like you're having a bummer day, but let's just do one thing today. Let's make our bed. Let's have family dinner. Let's focus on creating dinner tonight. What do you want to make for dinner? Even the stupidest, like mundane thing became a huge task, but I saw my mom go through the heart and persevere. And I saw how you get through, how you become a resilient individual, how you get through something that you didn't even sign up to get through. You don't want to do that, but there is a way to do it. And it's by simplifying and finding a routine and sticking to that routine and feeling good about that part of your day. And one by one, like day by day, bring in the steadiness. We have an episode that says routines are the roots. So when things happen in these girls' lives or in our lives or in our family's lives, we have to go back to our roots. It's a common thing, but those routines in a family life, in a personal life, if we can stay focused on those, and as we combat the storms, just like a tree that has roots into the ground, if they're solid, that tree can stay standing. It might lose its leaves, right? It might break a branch, but overall, you will withstand that storm. And if you can build on a strong foundation of routines that bless your life, that are healthy, healthy routines. I mean, I think when people experience loss, you can become bitter or you can become better, right? And I want to help my children. I want to help people I love, my nieces and my nephews, girls all across the world. I want to help them realize that they have a choice even when life gets insurmountable and you cannot go on, even when you've lost your best friend, figuratively or literally in your family, that there is still sunshine that you can find. And there's a way to find it. You've got to work at it. And it's not going to be easy, but you need to learn that skill because that is life. Becoming resilient, that is life.
I think that's incredible. In our work, we call it islands of consistency. And so it's exactly what
yes.
you're talking about. Which you keep returning to because it's your safe shore. It's your root. It's whatever. I think that's really incredible. Thank you for sharing that so vulnerably. And I think that those are the things that hold us strong when it gets wild, and teaching young women to anchor to those routines, I think is really powerful. Thank you.
Oh, no, thank you for letting me share.
Now, will you guys let us know where our listeners can learn more about you or follow you or?
Yeah, the easiest place, if they're interested in learning more about the program and seeing like the different memberships, they can do it. It's just bloomfully.com. A place where girls grow. So bloomfully.com, and you'll see the two different programs, Singer's Company for the Younger and I Believe in Me, what we've talked a lot about today. And then on Instagram, I believe it's I Believe in Me Girls. And so there's a lot there that they can figure out. But I've just been thinking as you're talking, like, I think it comes down to whether it's body issues, whether it's a tragedy that happens, whether it's just anything that comes into these girls' lives. The question is, how can I keep growing? Because when I'm not growing, I'm wilting. If I keep those thoughts about my skinny friend in my head too long, then I'm going to wilt. If I stay too sad about something that happened, I'm going to wilt. And so whatever situation that they find themselves in, especially as girls, because we get emotional pretty quickly, we just have to have those little, we call them soil checks, where they like, just check in with yourself. Am I growing or am I wilting? And if you're wilting, you just got to kind of switch gears and do something to keep that growth, because in the growing comes the strength. So,
well, thank you three for being here with us today and enlightening me and brightening my day. So thank you.
Well, thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for joining the 18 Summers podcast and putting your family in priority position. Subscribe and leave a review and help other families just like you.